A very pleasant morning and joyful, blessed Sabbath to each one. In chapter 5 and verse 18 of the first letter of Paul to the Thessalonians, we have some very important spiritual instruction, some truth that is a formula, an elixir for spiritual health, a tonic, if you will, for even the most sour and sorry dispositions. Well, what is it? What does it say? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In how many things? In how many circumstances? Well, is that possible? Come on now. Giving thanks when the doctor tells you it's terminal? Well, where do we draw the line? It doesn't say anything about drawing the line. In fact, the context of what we just read is actually one verse earlier. It says, rejoice, two verses earlier, rejoice always, that goes hand in hand, and pray when you feel the need. Pray when things are desperate. Pray when there's nothing left to do. Pray when the words on your lips are, well, I guess all we can do now is pray as a last resort. Is that what it says? Come on. Are you awake? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Is it possible that these words that we just read are not only an elixir and a formula and a tonic, but is it possible that they work to counter the atmosphere and the presence of the enemy? Definitely. You know, praise is something that God inhabits. And when the devil comes and casts a shadow on our lives, as he is prone to do, suddenly he hears rejoicing and prayer and giving of thanks. Well, most often than not, he and his imps will hit the road. Well, let's get out of here and come back later. You know, I mean, I can't stand this. Just like if sometimes I hear music coming out of the car next to me in traffic, and I try to either step back or pull back or go forward and roll up the window and put something else on to drown it out, because it, to me, it's like fingernails on the chalkboard. Can't stand it. Neither can he stand the sound of rejoicing and of prayer, and prayers that are full of thanksgiving and not ungrateful taking. Does that make sense? Let's read it again. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Perhaps someone here today is in the valley of decision, trying to understand, I'm not sure what God wants me to do here with this big decision in my life, and I want to know what His will is. And so we wait for a cloud to drop a giant hailstone that will hit the ground, and there's a message in there like a fortune cookie. This is my will. Is that how it works? While we're waiting for God's specific will in a specific situation in life, we are to give thanks in all things. That's His will. Give thanks. And in the process of doing that, other things unfold and unravel. Now, I'm looking around at y'all's faces out there. You didn't know I was from the South. Neither did I. And I see more than one sort of incredulous kind of, well, that sounds nice, and it's a nice ideal, Pastor. But in real life, you need to know, in real life, I'm there too. Let's be honest. Do any of us have as a habit, as a stubborn trait of character, giving thanks in all things for God? Don't answer. Don't answer. That's a good kind of stuff, a tenacity that will not let go. Like Jacob, wrestling in the night with whom he did not know, but he would not let go Let me go, for the day is breaking. I will not let you go until you bless me. You see, he knew there was a blessing somewhere in there. And he said, I'm not going to let you go. He was being positive about that. Who are you wrestling? I have no idea. Why you're wrestling? Because he came at me first. And he found out it was an angel of wrestling with the Lord. Let's pray. As we ponder, Lord, this commodity, this thing, this gift, this weapon, this bomb that you have given us, whereby we can break through the barriers and the nets and the cuff and hand links all of the ropes that the devil would bind us with, Lord. This thing called thanksgiving. And we're free to give it because we certainly freely receive. Guide our thoughts, Lord, as we worship and ponder and study this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. In all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So what that tells me is, truly giving thanks is really not possible outside of being in Christ Jesus. And if we are not in the practice, maybe we just have failed to get into the practice, but could it be that we are from day to day not walking and standing and abiding in Christ? Which takes us back to our announcement period this morning. The devotional books and how those are not to substitute study of the Word and prayer. That's where it's at. Giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you. There's a story that is told from the annals of history, and Corrie ten Boom, some of you have heard that story, right? What's the name of that book? Of Hiding Place, thank you. Just as if I have those moments. Everything's gone. And anyway, she and her family hid Jews in their house there. And knowing that it was against the law, and then sooner or later the Nazis might find out, so they practiced drills. Should the doorbell ring, all that. Anyway, they got caught. They got sent to prison. Her father died. Her sister is on the deathbed, very, very sick. And they're living, if you could call that, existing, as it were, in this concentration camp, in this building that was just infested with fleas and lice. So much so that the Nazi soldiers did not want to go in. Well, when the siren went off and the whistle blew and all that stuff, and you had to be outside, lined up for roll call, they needed to get out there. Well, her sister couldn't get up, couldn't make it. And they wanted to know, what's going on in there? Of course, they were hiding a little New Testament word of God that they smuggled in there. It was a miracle in itself. Making a long story short, she was becoming very cynical. And thankfulness is an elixir for cynicalness. Is that a word? Cynicalness? What is the word? Anyway, being cynical. Thank you. And she said to her sister, you know, her sister, if you've seen the film, always smiling, very, very wispy voice, you know, and we must give thanks, Corrie. In all things, I don't think so. What's to be thankful in here with all these fleas and the Nazis and nasty stuff they call food? Well, as it turns out, hiding their Bible and doing what they were doing there did not get discovered, penalty of death, because the Nazis did not want to go into that building that was infested with fleas. And she said, let us give thanks to God for the fleas. In all things, give thankful for fleas, for lice. Is that possible? 2 days ago, you thought we were done. Remember, looking for Christmas. It was Black Friday yesterday, and people were tearing each other's faces off, trying to get in there and buy stuff. You know, we're looking down towards Christmas now. I'm all set. I got all of my, you know, somebody said last week, Pastor, have you noticed that they start putting up Christmas stuff even before Thanksgiving? Yeah, I noticed they started selling stuff at Costco back in September. Because it's big business. There's not a whole lot of big business in Thanksgiving except turkeys, right? And flour and all that other stuff. And it's over with after a while. But to me, I think one of the most important American holidays we have for the year is not Christmas. What? The day the Lord was born? Talk to me later about that. We don't know when he was born. We don't. As far as the date goes, we know the time of year, and it wasn't December. But we have that celebration. Take advantage of it while people are thinking about Christ once a year. Well, what is the most important? Is it Easter? No. Is it your birthday? Uh-uh. What is it? Thanksgiving Day. That's the best holiday any government could have created. Why? Because it was created for people to turn their hearts and minds upward, away from all of this sewage down here, and to give thanks to God in heaven. Thank you, all five of you. Give thanks. That is God's will. Well, I'm just thankful that I got to pork out this week and eat all. We were invited to someone's house and we ate good. And for every bite, I'm thankful. That I could digest it, I'm thankful. That it didn't come up several hours later in the form of acid reflux, which many people suffer, I'm thankful. Did you? Well, I don't know. I had my Pepto-Bismol right there. What are we thankful for? Leftovers? Thankful to God. Because He is good all the time. And we can thank God also for His grace, His love, His salvation in which we stand, for His forgiveness, have mercy, and for that mercy too, for providing us with all of our needs. We just say that just rolls off of our, all of our needs, you know, like keeping your heart beating. Is that a need? Having the air clean enough so we can still breathe it and not fall over dead. Is that something to be thankful for? Some people say, well, I like living in L.A. Then I can see what I breathe. Yeah, enriched chunks, you know. What are we thankful for this morning? What? Fresh water. Amen. Most of the world lives without fresh water. And they say that battles in the very near future, and they're already being fought, will be fought over water, not oil. You can't drink crude oil, but you can drink water. You can take a bath in water. Thank God for that. Thank Him for life, for reasonable health. What do you mean reasonable health? I have this ache and this pain. Probably very few that don't have some kind of ache and pain and developing who knows what. But we're here this morning. That much health He granted us, and thank God for that. Thank Him for the pioneers, for men and women, patriots of the country, who sacrificed and gave their lives to build up and bequeath to us what we revel and are saturated with. Thank God for those who secure our freedom. And that's another word that rolls off of our lips. People think freedom to be perverts. And I have freedom. It's my liberty to do whatever. Well, you can get away with that. But the only reason you can is because we live in a country that has a large umbrella of freedom that accepts and allows a whole lot of stuff, and that excludes and does not allow a whole lot of other stuff, like killing and stealing. Aren't you glad you live in a country where that is secured? Be thankful to God this morning. And it just so happens that I have a story to share with you. Stories are good because everyone can listen. A story that is just one of thousands that should exhort us to thankfulness. For those, and there are some who played a part in this story, I don't recall ever meeting one, maybe I didn't know about it, that are still alive. Their numbers are shrinking because they're in their 80s and 90s now. What? Another World War II story? You bet. July 16, 1945. Got the date? 8:30 in the morning. Where? San Francisco Bay. The USS. Somebody asked me, what does USS stand for? United States Ship. Pretty simple. Only the Navy can do that. It separates them from all the other ships, right? It doesn't say HMS. It's not Her Majesty or His Majesty. It's the USS. United States ship Indianapolis exited the San Francisco Bay at flank speed, and they made record speed on a highly classified mission, carrying a mysterious cargo and a few extra folk who weren't a part of the crew. And the crew was not told where they were going or why, nor what they had on board. Oftentimes they didn't wait to make those announcements until they were well out of port and well into the ocean so that no loose lips could sink the ship. People have a way of talking and getting loose when they go out and, you know, imbibe in certain beverages. One part of the cargo was a large plywood crate that was lashed to the ship's deck and guarded during the whole voyage, morning, noon, and night. It was guarded. No one was allowed to get near it. The other part of the mysterious cargo was an ominous-looking black canister that was kept under lock and key, padlocked in a metal cage, and it was also welded to the deck. That's pretty secure. What in the world is going on here? Why don't they, I mean, what is, you know, and the place was probably buzzing. Where are we going? What's this all about? The first leg of their journey took the Indianapolis to Pearl Harbor, right down here. What for? To refuel and resupply. They made that journey. I don't know what ships do nowadays, but this is World War II. They made that journey from San Francisco Bay Area to Pearl Harbor in 74.5 hours. That's pretty fast. I mean, it's like, floor it, guys. And they did, till they got here. They were on a mission to somewhere. The next leg of the journey went from Pearl Harbor to a tiny island north of Guam called Tinian, where the Indianapolis delivered their mysterious cargo on July 26. Wow. They left on July 16. July 20, 10 days to get all the way down there? They were really hauling it, as they used to say. Tinian, you see, was a crucial air base for the B-29 Superfortress bombers. The picture starts getting clear for those who don't know this story, which, by the way, has been made into numerous books and at least one film. Only later, after they delivered this cargo, this crate, and this canister, only later it was discovered that the mysterious cargo contained the components for something that was called Little Boy. The atomic bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima, Japan. After delivering the cargo, mission successful, right? Where do we go now? The Indianapolis was told to steam to from Guam and then go towards Leyte in the Philippines. They were told they would be participating in practice drills with the battleship USS Idaho. They were unescorted and uninformed of the presence of Japanese submarines. And so the Indianapolis entered the dangers of what they called the open ocean frontier in the Philippine Sea, a no man's land. And that's why they called it no man's land. No man should mess with it or go there. But they did, in the middle of the ocean, halfway between Guam and Leyte. And on the night of July 29, just 3 days after they delivered the cargo, July 29, the Indianapolis was struck by torpedoes, plural, from a Japanese submarine, E-58, which means I-58. And it sank, the Indianapolis sank, in under 15 minutes. Such a powerful ship. You know, 74 and a half hours to make it to Pearl Harbor. The crew, the thing, the mission, all this stuff, gone in under 15 minutes. One moment they were steaming uneventfully towards their destination. The next moment, every living sailor on board was in a fast-paced struggle for survival. Many did not survive the horrendous torpedoing. Out of nowhere. You know, this story has an interesting twist, by the way, that the captain was later blamed for the disaster. Have mercy. And they even brought in as a witness in his trial the captain of the submarine that had torpedoed him. Talk about weird. Those who did not make it off the Indianapolis, experienced 4 days of hellish torment in the open ocean, suffering from burns and wounds, ship oil in their eyes and in the wounds, shark attacks, exposure, hypothermia, hunger, thirst, psychological torture that we can pray we never have to endure. But they endured it. Some of them endured it. Only 317, that's 317, out of a crew of 1196, 1,196, survived the ordeal. Wow. Those initial 15 minutes forever changed the lives of the 1,196 member crew. What would you do? What would I do if we had only 15 minutes between now and eternity? That's it. The announcement has come. 15 minutes till eternity. Is there anything that you would do right now, right away? Is there something that you would say, oh, I need to do this differently? Is there something you know you need to get straight, to get right as a lie? I need to have everything clear. Nothing between my soul and the Savior or anybody else. Is there? Well, what makes any of us think we have longer than 15 minutes till eternity? Could come with the next heartbeat or lack of heartbeat. Is our life in harmony with the Lord? Do we know Him as our personal Savior, our Lord, and our friend? He's the only source of hope and security, both for the present and the future. In all things, give thanks. Who are we thanking? Thanks, Mom, for the wonderful feast. That's nice. But don't stop there. Thank you, Lord, for being our Creator, the one who brings forth good things from the earth so we can have potluck and maybe even luck out with a few leftovers from Thanksgiving at potluck. Who knows? You'll have to stick around and find out. The fact is, planet Earth was torpedoed a long time ago when Satan introduced sin through Adam and Eve. The history of the world has been a record of the gradual process of Earth sinking under the burden of sin while being strewn with the stories, the wreckage of lives and deaths of Earth's passengers. The world will eventually go under. That's what the Bible tells us. And it's only a matter of when will it go under. I mean, have you noticed things aren't straight in the world? We're listing to one side. Have you heard the gurgling of the waves? Signs and events all around us. Well, that's the way things, it's been happening for years on planet Earth. Where is the promise of His coming? Is what the cynical say. We need the elixir of thanksgiving to God every day, because I need to be reminded of His goodness, that He's alive today, not last week only, but today, right now, this very moment, with every full of grace heartbeat that is given to me. There might be one or two here this morning who have a pacemaker. And that's what's keeping me. No, that's not keeping you alive. That's a machine that's doing some stuff that technology has discovered. But even that thing with its battery in there is not what's keeping you alive. It's the grace of God. Grace, 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 grace. Until He says, time to sleep, rest. And when I come again, I'm going to give you a body that you'll never have to worry about it stopping or breaking, or sinking under the waves. The Bible tells us, Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And what name is that? Jesus the Christ, given for you and me. Now the world is already playing their Christmas carols and their fa-la-la songs, because it's big business. And we will be having moments to meditate and to think and to be reminded with the things that are seasonable, like these poinsettias, very beautiful, by the way. And I'm glad we got in on the action before they got wiped out. So the church is decorated with that. Wonderful. But then eventually that's gone and people start thinking about New Year. Then they start thinking about the bills and all the other stuff that's going on. It's this round of activity every year. 'Tis the season to be jolly until the credit card comes. You know, is that what it's all about? If we do anything, well, you just said, Pastor, that's not the real day. It's not the real day, but it was a real event. Christ did come. The Word of God did become flesh and did dwell among us and now desires to live in us. What for? So we can be thankful, because in heaven they never stop giving thanks and falling before the throne of God and worshiping Him. That's what worship is about, giving thanks, blowing kisses of respect and love to God. And there is no other name whereby we must be saved so we can get to heaven and join that joyful, rejoicing, happy throng of the saved and of the never fell in sin group of beings. They do exist, starting with 2/3 of the angels who did not join Lucifer's rebellion, but stayed with God. The good news of the gospel comes into our lives, into our hearts, presents us with a choice. You know, you can understand the good news and say, that's wonderful, Christ died for me, great. Put it on the shelf, refer to that when needed. No. When it comes to the heart, we have a choice. We're given a way to survive, a way to live for now and into eternity with the one who gave his life to save us. Thank God for his saving grace. Well, what's the other choice? The other option is go down with the ship into the dark abyss. It's what the Bible says. Eternal loss and permanent extinction. I don't want that. I think being alive is a nice thing. Yeah, there's a lot of problems in life, pains, aches, misery, all the other stuff, but you know what? There's enough goodness in there and enough tokens of what God intended life to be to say, hey, I want the real thing when He comes again. The real thing. In the meantime, we're faced with shark-like attacks of the enemy, circling, waiting for an inn to come in and bite off a chunk. And there are sometimes, you know, and by the way, that story, I mean, it's very, very vivid, how soldiers will be there clinging to a piece of wreckage. All of a sudden, you'd see the soldier just gone. And the surrounding soldiers knew a shark got him, and there's not a thing you could do. Can you imagine if that alone didn't get you psychologically wondering, when am I next? And you look down when it's daytime and you can see those gray bodies circling around just inches below. And at night you can feel their sandpapery skin brush against your leg and you can't see a thing except the stars above. Horrible, horrible. Life is kind of like that. You never know when he's going to strike. And sometimes we're tempted to give up or to give in, as some of those sailors were. The crew of the Indianapolis floating in the open ocean for 4 days had to deal with those shark attacks, dehydration, hunger, and with the often overpowering mental emotional fatigue that caused some of them to give up, to hallucinate, drink the water, or to just let go and sink to their death. Some of them, you know, they would go nuts. They'd suddenly say, hey, there is water, it's right here. There's a drinking fountain right down there. And they'd dive under the water and you never see them again. And those who did drink and stay on the surface, it was a matter of time before the effects of drinking salt water would kick in and they would, that's it. That's all she wrote. Nobody to help. Nobody to help. Until one day, that fourth day, they heard engines. You see, because the Indianapolis was overdue. Why isn't it here? Why hasn't it arrived? And they sent out the search planes who circled around. And it was only what you might call a fluke that caused one of the searching sailors to see something on the waves, kind of like a flash or whatever. And he saw it, and they circled around. Sure enough, there they are. And they weren't all together. There were pieces of them here and there floating around in little groups. The captain survived, obviously. I mentioned that earlier. And there probably were times when he wished he hadn't. When they saw the search planes, most of them experienced a revival of hope in their weakened condition. Somewhere from within, they were re-energized. Hope and life is close by. A seaplane landing to pick them up. You know, you and I need hope. We need spiritual revival in just as urgent a way as those sailors needed hope to survive. We're in an emergency situation. Capital E. Don't drink the polluted water of this present world or be overcome by your personal struggles. Ah, I can't take it anymore. Don't let go of your faith and sink into the depths of despair. Hold on and give thanks. Why? Because Jesus is coming soon. And those 317 who survived had to somehow cling on to hope that somebody's going to come for us. Somebody's going to rescue us. Don't give up. Hold on a little longer. It could be in the next 30 minutes. It could be the next hour. But hold on. Hold on. Hold on. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to finish with verse 23 and 24. Now, and this comes right after, pray unceasingly, rejoice always, give thanks in all things. It also says, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. And now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body, totally all that is you, be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Will he find us floating? Yes. Clinging to the debris of the wreckage of planet Earth? No. Clinging to the hope and the promises of God's Word. This is our life vest right here. Without this, we're going down. That's the life vest. Hold on. Verse 24. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. But I can't, Lord. There's not, and there was nothing any of those sailors could do to save themselves. No matter how much they tried to swim or pull the last vestige of energy from deep within, a stubborn, you know, resisting spirit, it didn't work. One by one, they were taken, they were gone, and they realized if something doesn't happen soon, there's going to be nobody left to rescue. Their hope was on rescue. Our hope is on rescue. For there's certainly nothing we can do to save ourselves on this planet. Some of the politicians and world leaders and people in government and all this other stuff, God bless them and we need to pray for them. They don't have a clue what they're doing. I mean, there are some things that need to be done to maintain the semblance of sanity, but does anybody know how to get us out of this mess? Crew of the Indianapolis, what idea did you have to save yourselves in the middle of no man's land? None. What was it that helped you survive? One moment at a time, 1 minute, 1 hour, one day at a time, till rescue came. Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We will be rescued soon. Now thank we all our God with hearts, with hands, with voices. This is your will in Christ Jesus for us, both now and into eternity. Thank you, God. Thank you. In Jesus Christ. Amen.